So I think it's, yeah, there we go. It's recording.
We are recording.
How wonderful.
Podcast. See how this goes.
Yeah. I should cover the screen so we don't watch it.
Right.
We don't watch it go across. Yeah, our first podcast. We're still figuring everything out.
Yeah, this will just be like freeform, just kind of chat, see how it goes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So our plan is, I don't have a plan. Do you have a plan?
Talking. Talking is the main plan.
Okay.
Well, actually, the real plan is to get people to listen.
Yes. But yes, we hope you are listening and have not turned away yet.
Minute one. All right, I'm out. This isn't for me. This whole talking. I like to read my podcasts.
Yeah, it's not the "this podcast is not a thing" podcast. It's the "this is the not a thing" podcast.
Yes, this podcast does exist as of now.
Yes, it actually is. This podcast is a thing. So don't be confused by the name. So I see you have a list. What is, should we inquire about the list? Is that a good idea?
Oh yeah, maybe you should take a look at it.
Oh,
let's see, there was some ideas.
Okay.
Nothing.
Okay.
You know, if that's even legible.
That's pretty good. I see it for sure. I don't know why my voice is this high. It doesn't really get. Okay. It doesn't get that high. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Getting high. That's a different podcast.
Yes. Yes. We'll look into that one if this one doesn't work, I think.
Yeah.
I think.
That's the backup plan.
That's the backup
plan. When in doubt.
Exactly. So I think, let's just start with the first thing on that magic list. We'll go with Dark Knight.
Yeah, Dark Knight Rises. Dark Knight Rises just came out this week.
Yeah.
And major spoiler alert, if you're listening to this and if you haven't seen it, do stop listening. I mean, come back later and listen.
Yes, come back.
Please come back later.
Come back for the next segment, which you won't know when it is, but we'll figure it out and then let you know so you can jump to that segment.
Yeah.
But,
well, we could cut that in, just like skip to...
I think so.
X, whatever.
I think so. We can do that. We'll try. We have the technology. Maybe.
Perhaps.
But in any case, Dark Knight Rises, I liked it. I thought it was good. I saw it on Sunday morning at 8:45 in the morning, which is
early.
It's a little early, but I had to. We had other stuff happening that day, and I hadn't seen it yet. It was Sunday. I was hoping to see it on Friday, and then apparently all the shows were sold out for IMAX, so I didn't see it. And then I was pushing it out through Saturday, and Sunday morning just ended up being the time to go. And it was still very crowded. I was surprised at how crowded it was at 8:45 in the morning on a Sunday. But I guess me and the heathens, you know, we had a
the slackers waiting for that opening.
Right.
I also saw it Sunday.
Okay.
But I saw it on the baby IMAX.
Oh, nice.
Not on the real legit IMAX.
No.
But I enjoyed it. I liked it a lot.
Yeah. How much did the how much was in IMAX? Do you know, like? Were there, I mean, I guess a lot of the scenes were, but like all the exterior scenes, I'm sure.
Yeah, the opening, and actually, I don't even know how much of it was. I was just in awe as I was watching
good.
It. I was just, it wasn't distracting.
Okay.
The shifts between IMAX and non-IMAX.
Okay. Yeah, because I remember very, very clearly for Dark Knight when.
When that bank scene.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then every shot of Tokyo and
mm-hmm.
everything else was just awesome. So, yeah, but I don't have a I could tell that there were probably scenes that would have looked good in IMAX, but I saw it in XD, which is the Cinemark Century Theater thing, which is essentially cushy seats. And the sound turned up to like 50 because
they are comfortable seats.
Yeah, they are like kind of this leather, and they all the seats rock back, not just every other row like in some theaters, but it was very loud, and I don't know if you had that experience too.
The IMAX was plenty loud, but
it's always
but
loud
appropriately here. Loud. Not please turn this down loud.
Okay,
and I actually saw it again today on Wednesday. And that was just on regular old big screen movie theater.
Right.
And that was, I found the sound kind of lacking.
Oh,
after
okay.
after seeing that IMAX first, maybe I should have done that the other way around.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Okay, so it's worth a second viewing.
Oh yeah, definitely. Okay. I came out of it feeling different in the two different times that I saw it.
Okay.
The first time I saw it, I think I was too critical because I had such high expectations.
Mm-hmm.
But when I watched it again, I kind of threw out some of my fanboy prejudices.
Okay.
And I enjoyed it a lot more.
I don't know. I feel like I walked in with a fair amount of fanboyness only because the previous night, so Saturday night, I had watched Batman Begins and Dark Knight, and so I was already kind of primed in that, like, okay, I want the next one, I want the thing that's after this that really, you know, hits the home run. And I think they did, but I think it doesn't stand alone as a movie as well as as the other two. Like, you could watch obviously you could watch Batman Begins
right.
in a vacuum, and it's great. It's a little harder to watch Dark Knight in a vacuum, but it's not impossible. You can definitely watch that just because the performances in it were so heavy.
Well, then they were nice enough to recast Rachel Dawes.
See, right, that was nice of them. So you didn't feel so connected to the first movie. So you're right. There were a couple callbacks to the first movie, but I didn't think it was insurmountable. Like you, I don't think you could have watched Dark Knight Rises alone.
No, like, you probably could have skipped Batman Begins and would have been all right, but you don't get. There's a lot of actually. No, you couldn't have. That's totally wrong.
No, there's like, pieces of it.
They really threaded it all together into one complete package.
Right. Yeah. So that's what I liked about Dark Knight Rises, because it definitely pulls all the stuff together. It's definitely the last movie in the trilogy, and it was clearly a trilogy from start to finish, and they pull it together, which makes me. Happy because that means that, you know, Christopher Nolan, when he wrote them out, he knew it was going to be a trilogy. He knew they were going to be these beats pulled together, and it wasn't like a writer's hack to kind of, you know, oh, this is this now and these are these things, and kind of you know, retrofitting it to fit like the plan that he had you know, just suddenly put together because he was suddenly like infused with cash and had to make two sequels. You know, I'm talking to you, Matrix. I'm talking to you.
Or Ron Moore.
Yeah.
Battlestar.
Oh, Battlestar. I, you know, but I feel like at least Battlestar, there might have been some pre-writing to pull stuff together, because they do have things that kind of thread through, but you're right. They definitely were seat of the pants the entire time.
Yeah. But that's how I think that's easier to do in a film because they take so long to make.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas television, they're under the gun to make those shows.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the only shows that get a long time, some like Breaking Bad, like they have ridiculously long production schedules.
Right. And that's why they shows
in the quality.
Yeah.
But...
Yeah. And that's why they're only doing like 13 episodes
or
however many episodes they're doing per season, because they're actually crafting all of that writing and it's actually pulled together, you know, over such a long time. Whereas, you know, a show where they're churning out like 20 episodes a year, they're just spitting those out as fast as they can.
Lost.
Yeah. So for Dark Knight Rises, I think there was a lot of like I said, wrapping up kind of action. And pulling things together and neatly packaging things, which made it feel a little more calculated, you know, as the movie was going, which I think detracts from some of the action, clearly. I mean, not to say that the action in it wasn't good. I mean, I think all of the fight scenes looked good, with maybe the exception of the Batman Bane. Not the first fight, but the second fight when they're
on the stairs,
yes.
fighting among all the cops and crooks, and
right.
there's a kind of some posing looking going on there.
Yeah.
Like, this is for the trailer.
Right. They're opening up a little bit too much to camera, as they say.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. It also feels kind of unrealistic to have kind of a I'm gonna punch you fight, you know, in amongst all of this kind of carnage and
but that's a super comic booky thing to do.
Right, Right.
I mean,
you almost want the, like, bam!
Kind yeah, of. Yeah. That's kind of how, I mean, it wasn't quite as cheeky as that, yeah. But it was that visual style.
Yeah, and they I'm glad they did keep the fighting style through all three movies.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of, you know, hands up, elbows out, kind of, I'm covering my head from the sides in this kind of shield position thing. That was an interesting thing in the first movie extras, if you saw it, about they like grafted some guy's fighting style into the movie for him, so it looks different. It's like kind of, it's distinctive without being, you know, overwhelming, and they definitely kept that. Like, they clearly have the same fighting style Bane and Batman do,
with the same training.
That was
kind of that brawler style.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just, I'm gonna punch you,
yeah,
really hard,
right,
till you fall over. Which did not work out for Batman so well in their first encounter.
No,
he was clearly overmatched.
Yeah, I think Tom Hardy did a pretty good job of working out for the role. I mean,
he's been in that shape before. Yeah. He was in a movie, Bronson, where he played the big criminal in England.
Yeah, they definitely got the big British criminal feel going on from him. I mean, the kind of Shakespearean almost, like, posturing and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, and that could also fall into the whole League of Shadows training scenario where it's all about theatricality.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Deception.
Yeah. The League of Shadows kind of stuff felt right to me. I think I think, you know, calling back to that for the first movie makes sense. And then it didn't feel like, you know, oh well, we're just bringing this back. I mean, that was clearly the thing from the beginning, and that matches having and then it was just great to see Liam Neeson again.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's great to see him in any context, really.
Right.
He could have been doing...
He has a very special set of skills.
Exactly.
He will be in your movie.
Yes, I will. He will punch you in the throat in any movie that you want him in, essentially.
But I think you're right that it was good they brought back the League of Shadows, because I just rewatched Batman Begins this week, and I felt like the resolution of that movie felt rushed.
Mm-hmm.
When this is like, okay, here's Ra's al Ghul's back, and then the movie's over pretty shortly.
Right.
Like, these are supposed to be the big badass guys, League of Shadows, and then he just crashes.
And they all apparently die in that train crash.
Right.
Although nobody was on that train except the two of them when they were fighting, apparently, because it didn't seem like anyone was helping when Batman was beating
That's why they kept saying Ra's al Ghul is the League of Shadows.
Like,
yeah, it's really just one guy.
Because he's the only guy left. Yes.
Those are just extras. All those guys up in the mountains, he hired them for the day.
No, he excommunicated them all, apparently,
because
he's big with that. He, you know, just excommunicating people left and right.
Excommunicating, not just for the church anymore.
Yeah. That seems like a liability. You know, you bring a guy in, you train him about all these things, you let him into this secret society that's been around forever and ever and ever, and then you kick him out? I mean, aren't you worried that he's going to be an issue?
Yeah, you think you'd want to, like, sequester him to a desk job. Like, all right, you get to stay here. Just don't bother anybody.
The League of Shadows typing pool. You know, they type all the press releases for the League of Shadows. Kind of pull that together.
Well, especially with the speech impediment, I think Bane would have made an excellent typist.
Yeah. The ADR work for him was definitely pronounced. I mean, all of the trailers beforehand, every trailer that I saw of him was mixed differently, it seemed like. And so I think the final product was good, but it still felt like they redid his voice. It's not clearly him speaking through that mask. It's him amplified and doing the voiceover, which detracted from it a little bit.
I think I would prefer that, though, to just a garbled...
Yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't.
Yeah, because...
Even harder to understand.
Right. Because it is very hard to understand in that film. I mean, there are a lot of sequences that play really loud because it's an action movie and you have fighting and explosions and, you know, things ping-ponging around, and then when you get talking, it's really hard to have the volume for that right, because I mean, unless the speakers are done, you know, well, which probably they were in the IMAX. I don't think they were as much in the
I understood him a lot better, or in even Christian Bale, his gravelly voice, that I could understand both of them better in the IMAX than the regular theater.
Yeah, because it's so easy for them to just turn the volume up, and then when it starts pegging, they bring it down. But then it's too quiet for all of the talking scenes, and so mm-hmm. that's really rough unless the speakers are tuned right. That's a common thing that common reason like movies sound bad at home, because like no one has their surround sound like tuned correctly for whatever it is, and it's probably different per movie, right? You know, mm-hmm. if you don't have your vocals in the center channel or whatever, it's very confusing. I mean, I like having the ability to listen to stuff in surround sound, but it's also annoying from that perspective. First world problem.
So, what did you think of Anne Hathaway's performance as Catwoman?
I thought it was good. I mean, there's no she definitely does the kind of playful aspect of Catwoman really well, where it's like, ah, you didn't know I was like this, you know. When they first introduce her, it's a nice kind of shift when she kicks everything on. I think when she's being dramatic, it's less good. Like the scene when they're at the charity ball, and you know she's very much talking to Wayne, you know, truthfully, and it's that she's talking about, you know, the trailer, you know, there's a storm coming, Mr. Wayne. It's very like you know, it's evoking the
who
the,
says that?
Yeah, right. It evokes the very, you know, like, you know, we are the 99%, you know, which I think they were going for a little bit. They're kind of playing to that kind of mass hysteria a little bit. But then, you know, when it comes down to it, she's just trying to you know, erase her past so she mm-hmm. can start over or whatever. I mean, that's, you know, the clean slate kind of program that she seems to be so intent on getting. And it just seems like it's hard to figure out like what her motivation really is, because she seems like she wants to erase her past, but she's also really
seems to enjoy what she does.
Exactly. So
it's not like she's gonna walk away and okay, right. Now I'm gonna go work at Target.
Yeah, you don't see that at all. That she's gonna, you know, put away her cat burglaring ways and stuff. I do like how they didn't ever call her Catwoman.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, I mean, they do a lot of things that kind of, you know, that hint at her being Catwoman, but not explicitly saying, oh, she's Catwoman, because it's not a, they're not trying to do that kind of character crime persona thing that DC is so famous for. Yeah. The very, very clear, this is what they are kind of thing. Like, the name is exactly that.
Well, I mean, Batman says it all.
Yeah, Batman. Oh, he's a man who dresses up like a bat. Or Superman, he's a man who's super. Red Tornado, he makes red tornadoes. You know, Green Lantern, he has a Green Lantern. It's very clearly, like, you know, the guy that wrote all of these things and created all these characters was extremely literal about creating these characters.
It's almost like he had a first draft name. And then just decided, this works.
Right. It's the working title, and yeah. Then it becomes the actual title very shortly.
That's how we get names later, like The Dark Knight.
Yes.
Like, yeah. That sounds a little less cheesy.
I do like, from that, though, I do like, because having Batman means that Man-Bat is the opposite, and I do like Man-Bat as a
the villain Man-Bat.
Yes, I like that as a character setup.
That would have been hard to work into the Nolan universe.
Yeah, they're definitely not playing any supernatural at all, which I think is good. Although that will make it very hard for them to integrate any kind of Batman Superman thing together, which is
that is true.
I think that's what they want to do. I mean, DC wants an Avengers movie. Or rather, a Justice League movie.
Yes, a Justice League, because that Avengers movie just made all the money.
Yes. Yes. That probably saved Disney's bacon after John Carter.
Which I enjoyed.
Yeah.
And people naysay all you want. Yeah. That was, I thought that was a fun movie.
Yeah, for a movie that had very poor press and the ticket sales definitely reflected that, I think that really evoked a lot more playfulness than I expected.
It was like playful nostalgia.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I liken it to the movie Flash Gordon without being so over the top.
Yeah.
I remember very fondly watching Flash Gordon and just the ridiculousness of all of that and enjoying it a lot. And I still enjoy it. And it's the kind of thing where if I were a kid and I saw John Carter, it'd probably have a very similar effect for me. I mean, there was just the amount of cheesiness, the right amount of action, the right amount of kind of, you know, sex in it. Not sex, but not overtly, obviously. It's a Disney movie. But it's the kind of thing where it's like, okay, the female character wears pretty much nothing the entire time. It's
which is more than she wore in the books.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in the books, yes.
Okay. I'm not familiar with the Burroughs universe that much, but I understand,
Yeah, I think that's also why I think that movie should get some more credit. Mm-hmm. Is it may feel like when you're watching it, oh, I've seen this before. Like, well, yeah, you have seen this before, and that was all taken from this.
Okay, yeah.
It's just taken this long for the movie to get made.
Right, right. It's, that's going to be, I think, how Ender's Game feels when that finally comes out. Because, I mean, that is a movie, or a book that so much has been lifted from, there's just, it's just so hard to go back and tell that story and make that feel original. Because so much has been pulled from it.
But it is going to have Harrison Ford.
So. Oh, is it? I actually am not familiar at all with its current incarnation of who's making it, so I don't know.
Yeah, all I know he's in it, so okay. I'll probably go see it.
Okay. Yeah, Harrison Ford is a funny guy when he's on like talk shows and stuff. It's not... And not funny, like funny haha. It's funny... There's something funny going on. Like, he's probably high during every talk show I've
seen.
That
would not surprise me.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess.
But hey, after you've saved the universe and planet as many times as that guy has.
Yeah. He deserves a break. Fun. He deserves a break. He's doing all right.
We could even, I think, do a podcast or an episode just devoted to Harrison Ford. Just on all the different franchises he's such a large part of.
Yes. Yes. Oh. So... I think the last big one for him, for me was all the Tom Clancy ones, right? For not Hunt for Red October, but Patriot Games,
and Clear and Present Danger,
right? And then what I do is because he was Jack Ryan from those books, and in the books Jack Ryan becomes president.
Yes.
And so I unofficially think of Air Force One as a movie
the
in
final
that
Jack
universe.
Ryan movie.
Right, exactly. And it's such a good movie. I mean, well, sort of. I mean,
well, and there's that tie to Batman, you got Gary Oldman.
Right. Well, Gary Oldman,
the human chameleon,
is he makes every movie that he's in. It's great. I mean, and you're right. Chameleon is absolutely the right word because there's his performance in that, and then his performance in the Batman, the new Batman trilogy, and then he's in The Professional as the kind of crazy corrupt cop, and then
True Romance.
Yeah.
It's the drug dealer who gets blasted in the first like 15 minutes of the movie.
And Fifth Element as
he's just all over the place.
Yeah. He's really...
But always good. Really good.
Right. He definitely hurls himself into his scenes and his roles and stuff. So that would be... That's got to be an amazing like transformation process for him. He must have so much fun. Like just, because all of his characters are so... Well, all of I when I think of his characters, I think of them as kind of larger than life and kind of scene chewing a little bit, but
mm-hmm.
not really. I mean, in the Batman movies, it's definitely a little more understated. If you want someone really scenery chewing, it's Anthony Hopkins.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, just was watching Thor again recently.
Yeah.
Like, wow.
Where do you go? Where do you go from being, you know, a serial killer, but, you know, Odin the
Allfather.
Yes. Pretty much. That's pretty much the only direction you can go. I don't know how he's gonna top that, you know, in anything else, because he's so over the top in all of his stuff that makes perfect sense for him.
I really like how in Dark Knight Rises they explored Gary Oldman's Commissioner Gordon,
mm-hmm.
his struggle with the lie they created in the previous movie.
Right.
I think that was interesting, pushing this movie 8 years later.
Mm-hmm.
So there's enough time for, okay, we've buried the secret for now.
Yeah.
But, like, nothing stays buried forever.
Right.
And that you could just see it in the film, him, that lie just eating him apart.
Right. Right. The scene with when that's finally revealed, when Bane like reads the speech and then he's confronted by Blake, who's been like looking up to him as, you know, you're the guy that,
mm-hmm.
you know, pulled me out of being just a regular cop, and it turns out you've been lying, you know, this entire time. And it kind of, you know, crushes his spirit, which definitely moves his character the way it goes.
Mm-hmm.
But it you were always sympathetic towards Gary Oldman's character pretty much since the first movie. And so even knowing that he made that choice, you still feel bad for him. You still feel like his hands were kind of tied by the situation. But you support his choice because he really holds that kind of, this is as bad as it is. And this is this is the best I could do with as bad as it was. Talking about the passage of time, though, I thought that was the only thing in the movie that really was hard for me to deal with. Because there are definite points where you don't feel like time is passing as fast as it is.
It's 5 months later.
Right. It's eight. First of all, it's 8 years later, you know, at the beginning of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, okay, that's fine. I can kind of deal with that. And you're like, oh, so has Batman been kind of a bad guy for 8 years? And it's like, no, Batman's been...
He's been a shut-in.
Nowhere for 8 years. And neither is Bruce Wayne, apparently. Like...
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen in that more of Batman on the run. Batman fighting crime while fighting the cops.
Right, that's what I was hoping for. That Batman was still active, but he was...
Well, that's how they set it up in the ending of Dark Knight.
Right, he's
He's on the run.
Dirty vigilante, and, you know, but still doing good... But apparently not. He apparently been just
no. He just went
out.
Down as a murderer and then went into hiding.
Yeah, apparently shooting arrows indoors. And,
yeah, that looked like that arrow board had seen a lot of action.
But so you feel you. I was just thinking about that a while ago. Like, if he had not been active for those 8 years, then how much Batman time has there actually been in Gotham City?
Right.
There was. All of the time that he decided to be Batman in Batman Begins, which was, it felt like all of 1 week, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe between Batman Begins and Dark Knight, there was maybe a few months because people started copying him. But apparently not that much time because Scarecrow was out again, right?
Right.
So it couldn't have been that much time because they didn't catch him right away. And then nothing for 8 years. And then he's kind of back for like a week, and then he's gone for 5 months after he his back is broken, or however many months that is.
And then he's back for about 12 minutes,
right?
And then
gone.
He's gone.
So there's essentially been a Batman as long as there have been, you know, the 9 hours or 8 hours of movie time as there is in, you know, in the Nolanverse. So I guess that sort of works out, but. It does. I mean, you mentioned it. You know, when you your first reaction for the movie was like, you know, for a movie that's
almost 3 hour long Batman movie, there's maybe a half an hour of actual Batman in this Batman movie.
Which
that's not necessarily a bad complaint to have. If my biggest complaint is that there's not enough of the really great stuff that I thought was really great about this movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, maybe being a little greedy. Yeah. But
I mean, the characterization definitely is the big thing in Nolan's movies. I mean, really, really getting you to feel, getting a feel for all of the characters and getting their motivations and getting all of the you know, the weight behind all of their actions. You know, all the good guys and the bad guys, especially. I mean, he really plays the bad guys as bad, but like so deeply bad, and you know, encompassingly, like, here are all the motivations, and they're real, and they stretch back really far, and they're not kind of frivolous and crazy. Or if they are frivolous and crazy, like they were for the Joker, it's pathologically so.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really well done, I think, how he pulls all of the characters and weaves the enough of a backstory. And even when there are gaps, you're kind of driven to fill them in because he's given you so much material with all of those characters.
I thought it was an interesting choice that for a third movie in a trilogy, they kind of reset everything.
Mm-hmm.
So we spent the first act and a half resetting everything, creating a new world that Bruce Wayne has to be dealing with.
Mm. And yet not really, I mean, it definitely flows from the second movie. You know, the energy and the kind of setups and
it
things.
It takes it to a larger scale.
Right.
I felt like it was really ambitious to try and tell a larger scale story like that.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the other two were very personal.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. And that, you know, has the side effect of expanding the character list a little bit. I mean, it makes there were a lot more kind of people to kind of deal with, but I think all of the expansions in character were well done. I mean, Blake is great. The Matthew Modine,
Matthew Modine,
chief of police or whoever.
Deputy chief.
He ended up being, you know, a good character. I don't think there were any weak spot characters that they introduced. I mean, there was that kind of weird second in command guy that's always in the background of all of the scenes with Bane.
Oh, Bane, second in command.
Yeah, who's kind of like, he doesn't really talk, and then, you know, and that's fine.
It's nice to see a secondary character taken out by another secondary character.
That's true. That was good. That usually is kind of a weird thing in movies where the second in command guy is like the real bad guy, or not the real bad guy, but the toughest bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the guy that, you know, the hero has to fight getting to the actual bad guy, who's always more cerebral, and, you know, and they don't actually fight like hand to hand. It's, you know, that's a very James Bond thing to do.
Yes.
You know, to have the second.
The villain is so smart that they can hire some muscle to
take
care of their business.
Exactly. Exactly. And in this movie, there were kind of like three layers of that. So,
yeah.
So that kind of worked out. It's probably for the best that they didn't, you know, have too much, you know, in the way of secondary character fighting and stuff. But
I really liked the number of small parts that were given to familiar actors. At least they're familiar to me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in the opening sequence on the plane,
yeah,
there's a CIA agent. And at first I didn't catch who it was. I was struggling to figure out who
it
was.
Oh, really?
And I was like, oh, it's Littlefinger from Game of Thrones. He just doesn't have his goatee and he has an American accent.
Right. And he doesn't have all these whores around him.
Yeah,
like,
right.
You know, just being naked.
Where's the nudity to cover exposition? That was what I was lacking in that, in this movie.
That was a great
Tom Lennon as the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Nice to see him in a semi-serious role. Wonder if they chose him just for that slight joke in the end of his scene.
Probably.
Or Christopher Judge from Stargate SG-1. It was weird seeing him without his without Teal'c's head marking.
Yep.
It was a nice 2 seconds of screen time. Just a nice little, oh, I recognize
him. Yeah, he does that kind of standing, looking somewhat menacing kind of thing really well.
What are you doing here? And I liked how they had Scarecrow throughout all three movies.
Yes.
Like, that was a nice thread to put through there.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, of course, if they have this ridiculous court system, who's going to be there? It's going to be Crane.
Yeah. I think the imagery was definitely played up more in this one. Like it was very easy to pull. Like this is a great, you know, visual like thing that they could pull like a couple seconds from, or just a still, and then, you know, rip it out of context and use for, you know, a poster or whatever. They definitely have amped up, or I mean, he's clearly gotten more about, you know, finding images that stick and will kind of persist beyond, you know, the scenes that they're in.
Like Bane holding the broken bat mask.
Right. There were a lot of things that I think the camera lingered on definitely longer than I can't say that I would make a good movie, but if I were to make a movie, you know, it seems like it's holding a little, you can kind of feel it's holding a little further or holding a little longer on scenes to kind of, you know, pull that impact. It never feels, you know, too forced.
Except maybe that fight on the steps.
Well, you know, I think that.
But you know who saved that?
Uh-huh.
Hans Zimmer. I mean, as much credit as Christopher Nolan should get for these movies, I think Hans Zimmer, really, his scores, they set everything.
Yeah.
Even the parts in this movie that might have felt like they were dragging, just that constant driving music,
mm-hmm.
just kept pushing the movie forward to this frenzy of just mad violence.
I think the scene that really sticks for me from the whole trilogy from a musical point of view, you know, the music really kind of amping up, because it always feels a little it's a little understated during a lot of the kind of exposition sequences, but the time that it I think really worked was the interrogation scene in Dark Knight when Batman decides, you know, all right, we're done here. I'm gonna shove the chair under the doorknob so no one can get in, and you know the strings are just escalating and getting higher and higher during the you know where is she? Where is she? And it's like punching him, and that scene like you know really sticks. I mean, definitely. God, that movie was so good. Dark Knight was so good.
I think I have to put Dark Knight ahead of Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, I really enjoyed Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah,
but. Yeah.
Oh, well,
it's good.
Well, I mean, like, you know, I mean, it's just like the Star Wars trilogy, the real one, not the prequel one.
I don't know what you're talking about. There's three Star Wars movies.
Yes.
That's it. They're made in the 70s and 80s.
Yes.
And after, we haven't had Star Wars since then.
Yes.
I'm just waiting for those to get re-released in 3D so I can watch them in 2D.
So I can cover one eye and watch them in 2D. I'm there. Yeah, but like, I mean, that's how storytelling works. If you have a storytelling arc, it's an arc for a reason, because there's rising action and falling action, and the middle is where, like, the meat is. And so the middle for this trilogy was Dark Knight. And I mean, I don't fault it fault Dark Knight Rises for being kind of the falling action of a trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a great end to the series.
Well, and even within the structure of the final movie, it builds towards the end. It doesn't drop off.
That's true.
I mean, it goes out with a bang.
Right.
It is pretty exciting.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you can marathon them, but if you marathon them, it doesn't feel like one big arc.
I mean,
there's definitely, they definitely stand alone. I just think that the third movie,
is more dependent on the first two.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It's still good.
I liked how they were able to make... They made a trilogy that's totally self-contained, separate from the other incarnations of Batman.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the Nolan Batman.
Mm-hmm.
But the way they ended it with having John Blake take the mantle or go out on his own path...
Yeah.
Kind of gives that the story continues. Like, we may not be watching it,
right?
But it's not like this isn't finality,
right?
The story, that's what you want. This is a series that continues. We just, our view of it has ended.
Yeah. And you know they're gonna make another one. You I know hope it. So. I mean, they've made so much money.
I don't know if Nolan will do it.
No, I don't.
Somebody will do it.
I think that's fine. I think if someone else does it,
just not Joel Schumacher.
It will. If someone else does it, it's. I think that's thematically okay because the story will, you know, it has to go off in a different direction the way that it's built up, the right. way that they, you know, they've pulled the characters and kind of, you know, and then tied the bows on all the ends. I think it's fair for that to be a different director, and it's probably fine thematically and stylistically even that it would be different. But they have such a good base for continuing something rather than rebooting it.
Yeah, it was such a rich world they've created that, yeah. you know, that ground is fertilized just fine. You don't right. need to till it again.
It would be, just unfair for them to reboot this and put it all away.
Like Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Which I still haven't seen.
No, I haven't seen it either.
I have no...
Zero interest.
No.
Zero interest.
Not to say that Raimi's movies were all amazing, because that third one was a steaming pile.
Yeah. But... well, but, I mean, even... It just feels...
Too soon.
Yeah, too soon is clearly the word for it. And the... Even if they did it well... It's you can't think of it in, you know, divorcing it from the other stuff. There's mm-hmm. no way to say that, oh, well, this is you know, a new fresh take, and it's fair to do that, because it's not. I mean, they're changing, I mean, at least from the trailers, and I like we said, we haven't seen it, so it's not, maybe it's not fair for us to talk about it to the extent.
Well, I've spoken to some people who have seen it, and they did change some backstory. They yeah. did change, you know, but on the other hand, comics do that all the time.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, you know,
there. If there was a type of movie to do that to, you can do it to a comic book movie.
That's true. Because even in, and you know, and that's true in Spider-Man, but it's also true in Batman. There were multiple Batman.
I mean, how many ways has Hal Jordan gotten his ring?
Oh,
there's a lot. There's a lot of them.
Fair enough.
So if they continue the John Blake story. Do you think it'll be Batman? Do you think it'll be Nightwing? Or do like a Rob? I don't see them doing a Robin movie without Batman. But yeah. maybe Nightwing?
Nightwing would be okay. I think I would... that would be fine for me. I mean, that's the one big departure from kind of the source material, I think, that they did.
Yeah.
Like they decided to make you know, whoever his character is going to be is completely new... Whereas almost all of the other characters were something in a comic book source.
Even somewhere. If they changed. I think that's when I first watched it, that was one of some of the things that slightly bothered me. Not enough okay. for me not like sure. the movie.
Yeah.
But I mean, changing some stuff with Bane and...
Well, yeah, but I think the stuff they changed with Bane was removal
It makes sense within this
yeah.
universe.
Yeah, yeah.
And it does help having him tied with the League of Shadows and... more of that Himalayan region made more sense within this trilogy
sure.
than his origins from the comics.
Hmm. Although, you know, it just means no more Latinos in movies, you know.
Yeah,
less,
that's true.
Less Latinos in movies. No Asians, no Latinos. Whatever.
There was an Asian guy. Oh, no. Blake's partner was an Asian.
Yes.
And then he got shot.
And then he got... Curses. Yeah. Asians are bad guys. That's what I learned from movies. They're bad guys or they die right away. That's not good. Anyway, someone should make a movie with some Asians in it that does okay. I think there've got to be something like that, right?
Like all of Jet Li's movies.
Okay, although not the Expendables, not the
no,
first
that's
Expendables.
True. That's true.
Jet Li,
but that's not a Jet Li movie.
No, it was not. No, Jet Li pretty much spends all of his screen time getting saved by Sylvester Stallone in that movie, which I found
shocking. Really. That Sylvester Stallone wrote a movie.
Right.
Where he saves everybody.
Oh. Yeah. Expendables 2?
Oh, I won't see it in the theater, yeah. but I'll watch it.
Yeah.
I'll wait for Redbox. I'll pay a dollar. $1.30, whatever it is now.
Not a thing. Brought to you by Redbox.
Is it not an ad?
No, not really, actually. Not really. We don't have
sponsors. We don't have sponsors.
Not yet. We're hoping for some. If anyone's out there that like to sponsor us, please get a hold of us. It'd be nice. we're not beneath it at all.
No. We do not hold ourselves to a higher standard.
Yes.
If anything, I want it to be known. We do not hold ourselves to a high standard.
Yeah. Oh. So what other things are on the list there? I think we've tread that well, night. Pretty well.
I have on here, what is this podcast?
Yeah.
What are we trying to accomplish here?
Well, I think part of it is that we're trying to fill kind of our extra time that we have in our heads.
Finding a creative outlet.
Right. Because I think, at least I feel that I had a lot of kind of good fond memories of talking on the radio when I was, because I used to do that back in my day, back in college. I had a radio show, and I had a talk show for a year, it was a year, it was three quarters, in a school system year anyway, where I did kind of news talk. I mean, the radio station was mostly music, but it was a talk show kind of to bring people from the community in and talk to them, and you know, we interviewed people, and it was really fun, but never something I stuck with. And I like that kind of back and forth. I feel like it plays to a lot of the strengths as a listener, and kind of this is a really good example of my thinking on my feet kind of aspect of it. Obviously, I'm out of practice, so it'll be something that early days.
I'll do.
Something I'll work on, and hopefully will go well. But I do like that, and I like that you know, podcasting is kind of a good outlet for that. Even if, you know, it's just me listening to it, I think it's an interesting exercise, because I think it enhances that set of skills.
And I think it would be interesting to bring in people like our good friend Julie.
Yeah.
To people to interview who have interesting careers or right. do like have interesting hobbies that people may not know about. And
yeah, because I think the
that'd be a good way for us to learn about things.
Yeah, I mean, the part of the naming of the podcast and kind of the origin story behind it was, you know, there's so many things, or at least from my perspective, there's so many things that are not hyped and they're not, you know, focused on that we like, and you know, it's the kind of thing where when you and I talk about it, that's fine, but wouldn't it be cool if other people thought that was cool too?
Yeah.
And there probably are those people. So that is for you. So if you think this is cool, right on.
Don't worry, we can cut that.
But the other kind of side of it was there are a lot of things that we think are probably over-focused.
That really should not be taking up any
right.
time.
Right, and we won't spend too much time on those things.
That might be our shortest segment.
Yes.
Things that are too big of a thing that really shouldn't be a thing.
Right, exactly. In fact, we may not even talk about it at all. That's how much of a thing
I think maybe we should impose some sort of limit. Maybe. Like 10 words.
Sure.
Like a 10-word limit. This is all we're going to give this.
Ooh, 10 words.
Or something's even one word. Yeah. Like Kardashian. Done. Mm. Never to be spoken of again. Done.
Although I do
not
like the
judge ruling, not a thing.
Exactly. I do like the call out on the Kardashians from True Blood, not this last week, but 2 weeks ago. Did you catch that? When Russell?
Oh, yeah.
So Russell is railing against, you know, how much of a joke, you know, people are and the authority is, and he says something like, "We ought to be." It was like something to the effect of, you know, we're all ruled by, you know, Kardashians or something like that. Good hit. True Blood. That's actually a thing that I think is still good and worth being a thing, maybe.
I don't know if it should be a thing anymore. I think we may have opposite opinions on that one.
Oh, they may. Okay. I still like it. I don't feel that it's at its best. Clearly, but I feel like they're enough enough pieces of stuff that it just every season I come out like, okay, this is a good piece, this is a good piece, this is a good thing, and then I feel like it has so much potential. They're gonna pull it together. They're gonna pull it together. And even though at the end of every season since like the first one, they haven't really pulled it together, I feel like there's still enough momentum that I'll watch it. But I do know that, you know, they're definitely wringing that towel, you know, as hard as they can.
Yeah. I mean, I continue to watch just because I'm a completist, and I can't ever stop something that I've started.
So are you still watching Glee?
Okay, that's not true. There's an exception. Exactly. You're right.
So yes,
I do. I'm a human being. I have my limits.
Yeah, I was able to successfully shake that addiction. This season when they took the Christmas break, all of the first half of the season, every time I sat down to watch it, I definitely felt I was doing so completely out of obligation. And then after that the Christmas special, which was just so forced beyond measure because they were kind of doing a show within a show, it just felt so contrived and so forced that I was able to, you know, pull the plug on it. And it worked because it was the Christmas break anyway. But yeah, that show got horrible. Horrible for me.
I still watch Weeds. I feel like it's on life support. I just don't want to. I can't pull the plug because I at this point hate every character on the show, and now I'm just waiting for them to get their comeuppance. Like, it's just, all right, what a horrible thing. How is this going to end badly for these people? It has to end badly.
You want the Breaking Bad version of
Weeds?
Yes,
we know Breaking Bad is not going to have a happy ending.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, but I do love Breaking Bad. Are you caught up?
I am fully caught up.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, we should just have this huge spoiler alert like sticker on this show. Instead of like an NSFW tag, it should just be a spoiler alert tag.
We'll just have to go through and list out all of it. All right, if you haven't watched episode season 7 of...
Right.
Do not listen to this.
Yes.
Yeah. No, please listen to this.
Go back and don't listen to that part about the Dark Knight Rises that we told you to not listen to earlier. So the spoiler... anyway, but Breaking Bad, I am so happy that show is back. Every episode has been just great to watch and pull. That's another show where
there are no diminishing returns.
Yeah,
it just keeps getting better.
Yeah, and another series. I mean, that's probably some of the best writing on TV. Pulling all the characters and having all of the emotions and motivations just be so visceral and real, you know, in every scene. It's just great. And I'm really glad Mike is back. I was worried he was gonna die.
I mean, it's it's see, now I don't want to spoil it, but certain characters have not returned this season for various reasons. It's nice to have some familiar faces sticking around that,
yes,
you know, we enjoy to watch on TV.
Oh, good stuff.
So I guess, yeah, this podcast would kind of fall under all things entertainment. But I don't think we should limit ourselves to that.
No, I think this specific podcast
is
definitely,
this one. Yeah.
Definitely entertainment focused. I mean, we came in, you know, essentially after both watching Dark Knight Rises and having it fairly fresh in our minds. I mean, we could talk about, we could go back in time and talk about, like, Prometheus or another movie which really kind of rattled my brain, you know, recently.
Yeah.
But I think we'll, it'll probably be very entertainment focused, just kind of
that's just kind of how our personalities work.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't like to talk about work.
No.
No. That's one of those things that shouldn't be a thing.
No.
Think,
yeah.
You know.
Work, not a thing on this not a thing podcast. This is playtime.
Yes, exactly. So we'll do our best to, you know, keep stuff pretty exciting and up to date. You know, if there's anything that we haven't heard about that you that you think is a thing or not a thing that we need to make a thing or at least talk about in that way, we'd love to hear about it and pull that together. There's only so much stuff that we can consume. We're only human, and there seems to be a definitely superhuman amount of content and everything.
I do my best really to consume as much as possible, but I am only one man.
Excellent. Well, we'll sign off this week. I think we don't have a way of sign off. We didn't have a way of starting
off.
Yeah,
not really.
You may have noticed,
we may have to cut that in.
Yeah. We'll pull something together. We'll listen to this in post. We'll fix that in post.
Yeah. We got a guy.
Excellent. Well, Brendan, we'll see you next time period.
Yes. Till next time.
Here's where we cut out all the typing sounds of me typing in my password. Oh, good. It's been recording this whole time.